God the Father through Jesus Christ.
What is it that Jesus did the week before he was crucified? When he went to the temple, he went to the outer court of the temple. What did he saw? He saw all those money changers there, right? What did he do? He drove them out. But why? Jesus was not just concerned for the Israelites here. They had perverted the purpose of the temple, and the outer court, where those money changers were, was where the Gentiles were able to go. But instead of being a place where they could pray and worship God, it was a bustling market. Jesus gives the reason. He says in Mark 11:17, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." The Jews were preventing the Gentiles from knowing God by preventing them from praying. I pray that your church, too, would be a house of prayer for all nations. I pray that you would be a place where all nations could come and pray to God. You would be a church that loves all nations, prays for them. You have a glorious privilege as a church to come before God's throne together, publicly demonstrating our mutual access to God. This is the first reason we pray, because Jesus made a way for us to know our Father in heaven. Number two, the gospel means that the power of salvation belongs to God, not to us. Paul prays for spiritual strength in verse 16. Paul prays that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. See, there's no way that unity in the body of Christ can come about in our own strength. God has to do it. There's no way that in our own strength that people who are once hostile to God would be forgiven forgiveness of their sins and peace with God and one another. God has to do it. This is the power of the Holy Spirit alone. So when we understand the gospel, we have to pray. This is the first task of missions, to pray. Prayer is what empowers our missions. Think about how important communication is to a war effort. Right? The soldiers on the front line, if they can't communicate with headquarters, well, then the war is lost. The same is true of prayer and our missions. We have people on the front lines who need our prayers. They cannot do the work unless we are praying for them. Same with our own congregation. You will not have a witness to your neighbors unless you're praying for them. We gain our strength to fight through prayer. Church is encouraged in prayer because we're pressing into the darkness. And the missionaries on the other side of the world, or the church on the other side of the town, or you right here, will not be a light in this world unless you're praying for spiritual strength. Missions cannot happen without prayer. The power of the Holy Spirit. But we need to ask, what exactly are we praying for? Brings us to number three. Gospel means that we are to be completely filled with the love of Christ, as we know him by faith. We are to fix our gaze on Jesus. Prayer shows that we are dependent on Jesus. Now, what do we learn about him through faith? We grow in our understanding of his love. Look at verses 17 through 19 again. Paul prays that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. How wonderful is that? pray that we would know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. I hope you've noticed here with these three reasons for prayer that we have now accounted for all three members of the Trinity. We pray because God is Father over all, because the Spirit strengthens believers, and because the Son fills us with His love. And here is the point of prayer. It's all about the glory of God. It's all about exalting Him, making much of Him. In fact, that's the point of everything. It's why God started this whole thing in the first place. It's His ultimate plan, to display His glory to the ends of the earth, to let all creation to sing His praises. This is why the church exists, to tell of God's glory to all the ends of the earth. And one of the best ways that the church displays this is in its prayers. Notice how Paul ends this climactic prayer at the end of chapter 3. He prays in verses 20 to 21. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Many people take verse 20 kind of as a good luck charm. Right? Think that God is going to do so much more for us individually than we could possibly imagine. But the context won't let us take it individually. It's actually talking about the church in chapter 3, like we saw in verse 10. It's God's mission in the world to use the church much more than we could possibly imagine. I think we can say that about you here, in this church. You may think that you're just a small group of people, not capable of very much. Well, that's okay, because God is capable of anything. And God wants to use your church far more than you could possibly imagine. Furthermore, consider the last verse there, where he says, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We kind of skip over that phrase, in the church. Right? We think, okay, Jesus gets all the glory, but don't take out that one phrase. It's really important. To Him be glory in the church through all generations. All the time, God has determined that He would use church to bring Himself glory. That's the privilege we now have in the new covenant. We're working out God's ultimate plan right now. This is the greatest driver of missions. Not simply that more people would be saved, but that more churches would be formed. John Piper has a famous quote about missions where he says, missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exists because worship does not. And I totally agree with that quote, but I'd like to modify it slightly. The goal of missions is not simply to make more worshipers. It's to see worshipers gathered together in the church. And I think John Piper would completely agree with me on this explanation. So, I modify his quote and say, missions exists because worship in local churches does not. And this is what we should be praying for. Praying that God's glory would be spread all over the earth like the waters cover the sea. And how is God's glory spread all over the earth? Through the formation of local churches. And everywhere, every people, all over the world. Don't just pray that people would know the glory of God. Pray that they would glorify God as they gather together in churches. That's the great mystery. It's now been revealed. It's a privilege that we have to be a part of, so that's what we pray. So our one main application of this second point, of course, is that we should pray. Are you a praying church? Let's pray what Paul prays here, that the church would glorify God. Let's pray that the church would be a house of prayer for all nations. The reason for our prayers is the wonderful good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which allows all men everywhere to call on God as their Father, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and to know the love that surpasses knowledge. The curtain has been torn down. There are no more barriers preventing anyone from coming to God. There are no more barriers for you sitting here this morning from knowing God. You have access to God right now through faith in Jesus Christ. Simply repent of your sins. Believe in Jesus Christ. Put your hope and trust in Him alone. Look to God, your Father, for mercy. Look to the Holy Spirit to give you that truth. So be encouraged, church. Be encouraged. God is displaying His wisdom right here and in churches all over the world right now. He does that as we show our faith in our prayers. Close with that last verse again. Now to Him who is able to do above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations,